Josiah, in the days of Jeroboam, king of Israel, and Solomon's servant, who reigned on the 10 tribes of Israel, that had rebelled against the house of David because of King Rehoboam's behavior, who was the son of Solomon, a prophecy was made by God through the mouth of the man of God in Bethel about Josiah, who had not as of yet been born. In fact, this prophecy is dated about 300 years before the birth of Josiah. The prophecy has as follows: Behold, a child shall be born unto the house of David, Josiah by name, and upon thee shall be offered the priest of the high places that burn incense upon thee. A man's bones shall be burned upon thee. In order to refresh our memory of the meaning of this prophecy about the still unborn Josiah, we briefly remind ourselves of Jeroboam's deeds. Jeroboam, who reigned on the 10 tribes right after the division of the 12 tribes, as Rehoboam reigned on the remaining 2 tribes of Judah and Benjamin, contrived satanic ways to make the 10 tribes sin. He did so being afraid that they would kill him and return to Rehoboam. Whereupon the king Jeroboam took counsel and made 2 calves and gold and sent unto them 10 tribes. It is too much for you to go up to Jerusalem. Behold thy gods, O Israel. And this thing became a sin, and he made a house of high places, a made priest of the lowest of the people, which were not of the sons of Levi. This particular sin of Rehoboam was the reason why God prophesied a king would be born in the future in the house of David, Josiah by name, who could sacrifice on the altars of Jeroboam, the priests who were made of the lowest of the people, which were not of the sons of Levi. In fact, after about 300 years, and after a line of weakened kings had reigned in the house of David, as were Josiah's great-grandfather Hezekiah, his grandfather Manasseh, and his father Amon, Josiah was born, reigned at the age of 8 years, and continued reigning in Jerusalem for 130 years. From an early age, King Josiah walked in the ways of David and did not decline neither to the right hand nor to the left, and began to purge Judah and Jerusalem from high places, and the groves, and the carved images, and the molten images, and destroyed the altars of Baalim. Now, in the 18th year of his reign, that is when he was 26 years old, when he had purged the land of the house, he sent men and Maaseiah, the governor of the city, to repair the house of the Lord his God. And when they came to Hilkiah, the high priest, he delivered the money that was brought into the house of God. And when they brought out the money, Hilkiah the priest found a book of the law of the Lord given by Moses. And Shaphan, the scribe, read it before the king. And it came to pass, when the king had heard the words of the law, that he rent his clothes, and he said, Go, inquire of the Lord for me, and for them that are left in Israel and in Judah, concerning the words of the book that is found. For great is the wrath of the Lord that is poured out upon us, because our fathers have not kept the word of the Lord. And Hilkiah, the high priest, went to the Huldah, the prophetess, and he got the following answer in brief. Thus saith the Lord, Behold, I will bring evil upon the place, and upon the inhabitants thereof, even all the curses that are written in the book, because they have forsaken me, and have burned incense unto the other gods. And as for the king of Judah, Josiah, who sent you to inquire of the Lord, so shall ye say unto him, Because thine heart was tender, and thou didst humble himself before God, when thou heardest his words against this place, and didst rend thy clothes and weep before me, I have even heard thee also, saith the Lord. Behold, I will gather thee to thy fathers, and thou shalt be gathered to thy grave in peace. Neither shall thine eyes see all the evil that I will bring upon this place, and upon the inhabitants of the same. So they brought the king word again, and the king stood in his place, and made a covenant before the Lord, to walk after the Lord, and to keep his commandments, and his testimonies, and his statutes, with all his heart and all his soul. And he caused all that were present in Jerusalem and Benjamin to stand to it. Alike unto him was there no king before him that turned to the Lord with all his heart, and with all his soul, and with all his might. This is the excellent story of Judah's king, Josiah. However, there remains one last deed with which he finished his life, and which was not a good one. The scriptures do not specify whether this deed had only temporary or whether it had prolonged consequences for him in the future glories between the ancient worthy in the Lord's kingdom. We read a summary about this bad deed from the scriptures. After all this, Necho, king of Egypt, came up to fight against Carchemish by Euphrates, and Josiah went out against him. But he sent ambassadors to him, saying, What have I to do with thee, thou king of Judah? I come not against thee this day, but against the house wherewith I have war, for God commanded me to make haste. Forbear thee from meddling with God, who is with me, that he destroy thee not. Nevertheless, Josiah would not turn his face from him, but distinguished himself that he might fight with him, and hearkened not unto the words of Necho from the mouth of God, came to fight in the valley of Megiddo. And the archers shot at King Josiah, and the king said to his servants, Have me away, for I am sore wounded. And they brought him to Jerusalem, and he died, and was buried in one of the sepulchres of his fathers. Up to this point, we have heard all of King Josiah's story, an excellent one indeed, and his one fault at the end of his life, which he brought on his death. However, and because whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, let us record our conclusion in a few words, because this must be the conclusion of the whole matter. Our instruction, the instruction of God's spiritual people, and indeed of us who are alive of Christ's body and who will be added on to the glorious temple in a little while, so that it may be completed. Let's first look on God's side. We can see the expressed image of his person, his righteousness, his mercy, and also his wisdom and might. Sooner or late, righteousness is imposed. In this case, after 300 and some years, righteousness was imposed on the people of Israel. Love gave the restraint, wisdom planted it, and his might imposed it. Many times God, not only from the mother's womb, but even from the womb of the ancestors, destines people for his plan. Our God is a merciful God, and he forgives transgression in the humble, but he is also without partiality and not unnecessarily indulgent. We all remember David in the case of Bathsheba and many other cases. We all remember Solomon's inglorious end. We all see the end of Josiah. On Josiah's side, never the scriptures say here had appeared in Israel a similar case of returning to the Lord with all of the heart and with all of the soul and with all of the might. How magnificent this is! When he saw our fathers' idols, our heathen religion, didn't we do the same? Weren't we afraid of the Lord and didn't the same? We must, however, continue until the end of our life to be dedicated to real worship of our Father and never go back or stand behind any other gods. I am not, of course, speaking of our older conditional idols, such as icons, sculptures, etc. But I am speaking of the idols of an evil heart of unbelief to God. Today, these are the ones which John numbers with three speeches of his: the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of the life. Therefore, we must be apprehensive of something that Nehemiah said when he conferred with many Jews, and smote certain of them, and plucked off their hair, those who had married wives of Ammon and of Moab. Did not Solomon, king of Israel, sin by these things? Yet among many nations was there no king like him, who was beloved of his God, and God made him king over all Israel. And as the ancient Greek Solon said, "Don't consider anyone blessed until you see how he dies." As we said, let us all watch for each and every one of us until it is finished. As far as Josiah's fault is concerned, to come out so that he would fight against the king of Egypt, who marched against Carchemish by Euphrates in the valley of Megiddo, what does it especially seem to teach us? Should Josiah have been involved without reason for the nation in the war between two other nations? Should he have been involved in other affairs in spite of the warning that it was not God's wish? This is not what teaches us today. What it teaches us is that we should not get involved with this world's affairs in the political, social, syndicalist, and other disputes. If we get involved, let us be sure that besides these disputes, we too are bound to fall from God's favor as Josiah did, from the arrows of evil shot at him. The words of the Old Testament are heard from behind us, from the very deep past, as Josiah says, "And thine ear shall hear a word behind thee, saying, this is the way, walk ye in it, when he turn to the right hand, and when ye turn to the left. Therefore, hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown." Revelation. Amen.